This is Dr. Yo. Welcome to Respecting the Future. Your host is Levin Chuck Wilson, better known as Chuck. He's committed his body of work to serving individuals, families, and communities. As a social worker, he's taken the oath to be a change agent. This is the season 3 episode, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. It's all about looking for the truth while getting to know yourself, moving the needles and mountains in your life. So, let's talk to Chuck.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.
Let's talk about intimacy and love. What a great way to start this series. Talk to me, Chuck.
Yeah, it is a great way to start this season off. First of all, let me thank Sam Walton and you, Dr. Yo, and our videographer, Andy Yo, for this season 3 and our listening audience. This has been a very exciting time. Thanks for your support. When we talk about intimacy and love, wow, what an amazing topic for us to challenge ourselves with, Dr. Yo. A few weeks ago, I was listening to one of my clients, and she was sharing with me that she was being challenged in the area of being intimate and loving her husband. And I asked her, I said, well, tell me what your definition of intimacy and love is. And that's where this conversation starts. I think that
Is there a difference?
It is a difference. And there's a difference from the perspectives, from a male's perspective and from a female's perspective. And I think it has to be contextualized. When you talk about intimacy, you're actually talking about building a relationship. You're not talking about sex. A lot of times I think we confuse intimacy with sex or lovemaking or something that is sexual. Intimacy, I think, is more about building a relationship, getting to know who that person is, wanting to know why they speak a certain way, why they listen a certain way, why they understand a certain way, why they believe a certain way. Why they like to be touched. Like, what is their language? There's a book out, and I'm plugging this book, The 5 Love Languages. The author slips my name right now, but this book talks about the various ways to communicate your love language to your partner or even your friends or family or relatives. When you understand a person's love language, then it comes through being intimate. It doesn't come through just saying you love someone. It comes with developing that relationship.
So should a couple have 2 different languages?
No, I think a couple should have multiple languages.
Okay.
Because if men... I'm going to talk to the men first. Men, if your woman, your wife, your boo, your whatever you call her, is saying that she needs to be affirmed, she needs to be listened to and valued, and she needs to hear you say things, she's giving you a specific thing that applies to how she understands communication and how she understands your stated love for her.
Mm-hmm.
That's intimacy. Now, if you choose the man to chooses to say, you know what, no, I'm not going to affirm you. I'm not going to be supportive in language. She said, I need to hear it. I don't need for you to think about it. I need for you to say it to me. Well, that means that when you decide you're not going to do it, it's saying that you're not speaking that person's language. Now, what happens when you don't speak the person's language? What happens?
Nothing happens.
Well, when a person says they need something, they don't get it. What happens?
They go elsewhere. Right.
Women, same thing. Children, same thing. Women, if your man is saying, you know what, baby, I need this from you. Honey, I need this. Boo, you know, I like it when you do this and you do that. They're telling you their love language. Children, the same thing. When people communicate with you what they need, if they're able to be specific about a certain thing, then they're being intimate. That's an intimate moment. They're saying, I'm communicating with you. I think before we get to love, we have to be intimate. And intimate meaning that we have to build the relationship. We have to understand, well, why do you wear a certain thing? Why do you get up and do this? Why do you like this type of music? And understanding a person is all about intimacy, and it takes time. It takes cultivating the relationship.
So what you're basically saying then is we need to really be engaged. We need to be active, like active listeners in the relationship to build that.
Absolutely, Dr. Yeo. Absolutely. And being intentional about it. You know, lately I've been using, you know, I got a book coming out. I'm plugging my book. Got a book coming out November 24th, Black Friday, The Truth About the Facts. Dr. Yeo wrote a phenomenal forward on it, so make sure you get your copy. Listen, when you are intentional about anything, you have different outcomes. When you are, example, if you see a car, that nice ride that you want, and you say, wow, that's a nice car. The first thing you start doing is you start thinking about it. You start searching your mind like, okay, how much does the car cost? Can I afford it? Do I need it? You start thinking about all these things. You start cultivating that car, having a relationship with that car in your mind. How I'm going to look riding it. Now, if we do that for a car, think about the person that you say you care about, that you love, that you're intimate with. If you are intentional, and when we are intentional, we have to think, what do we do moment by moment? Don't sleep on intimacy. Don't rest on it. Don't become lazy with intimacy. Being intimate means being active. Like you said, Dr., it means being actively involved, actively listening, being engaged. Even tired is not an excuse.
Well, I was thinking about that because we do live in a fast-paced world, society where you have so much coming at you. You've got work commitments, personal commitments, you know, your studies, everything. At the end of the day, you are exhausted. So after a while, you know, a week or a month turns into a year, and before you know it, there's no intimacy. There's no relationship building. So how do you get back then?
Well, I think another way to look at it, too, is you're going to give your life to a job, you give your life to school, you give your life to a career. But at the end of the day, when your life has come to an end, your steps are now shorter, your eyes are dimmer, you don't do the same things you used to do, guess what you come back to? You're not going to go back to the job. The job cannot address your steps being shorter. The job and school cannot address your eyes being dimmer. You go back to that person that has been there all the time to say, you know what? I'm your caretaker. I'm your lover. I'm your friend. I'm the person that's been there all the time. When you have cultivated that relationship, as your life progresses, that's the person or those are the people who will be there at the end. And through the progress. So you have to balance it out. And that's what I mean by being intentional. If you're going to be intentional about your job, your career, and school, and not be intentional about your intimacy, the person you love, the person you care about, guess what suffers? Guess what you end up with? You end up with a retirement, but you die with no love. You end up with a good career and a few letters behind your name, but you have no one to share it with because you didn't spend any time. You didn't cultivate that. And then at the end of your life, you start reflecting and say, okay, what do I really have? Who am I? When all those things are gone, we are people. We are put on earth to touch each other, to care about each other. As we look at our political climate, now it seems as if the whole world is in a crisis.
Right.
And guess what? We're not focusing on technology. We're saying, hey, we're talking about human care. Let's touch each other. And if we can't do that for the person we love, how can we do that for other groups? So what is your education? What is your career? What is your job? What does it mean? At the end of the day, when the dirt becomes your resting bed and the worms that will eat your flesh will become your friends, what will it mean? What will it mean when it's all? You want to get to that point and say, you know what? I have been intimate. I have cared. I have created. I have created space. You know, you and I talked about this on one of the podcasts in the past. We talked about being time and making time, right?
So break that down for me.
So
being time.
So, and this is just my little country boy analysis. When you have children, when you have a child, you are time for that child. That child is your time, right? No matter what happens, no matter what's going on with that child, most parents, single or together, whatever, they're going to stop doing whatever it is to deal with that issue that's going on around them. They not make time. They are time. That's priority. They're numero uno. When you make time, that's kind of like the mentor. I don't have kids, so I have a lot of mentees. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I'm making time. That means this person has a little 15 minutes of my time over here. This person has an hour. This person has this. I'm making time for that person. But when you are time, it's like you're being intentional. You're saying, you know what? I don't care what's happening at the job. I don't care what's happening in my career. I don't care what's happening at church. You are my priority. And when people know, when your loved one knows that you're their priority, that's intimacy. And we talk about love. Then now that intimacy has moved into love. Love is a verb, in my opinion. It's a demonstration. It's action. It's not just words. Guys, when you tell your boo you love her and you don't have no actions with it, that's a bunch of BS. Women, if a guy is telling you they love you and there's no action to it, there's no demonstration of it, there's no sustainability to it, forget it. Move on. It's a dead end street. Now, men, the same thing now. A lot of times we put a lot of stuff on the men. It's the same thing for the woman. If the woman is telling you she loves you, but there's no demonstration, there's no action, there's no follow-up and follow-through, I cuss a little bit. I'm trying not to cuss on my mama listening to the podcast. She told me not to cuss this time. But you have to really, really be intentional about where you're going, what you're doing. And you have to understand that intimacy leads to your plan of action when it comes to love. It leads to your demonstration. It's love is not just that feeling. It's like, who are you? What's the collaborative effort? What's the engagement? What's the outcomes? That's what love is.
So let's stay on intimacy. Is there a difference in the age group with intimacy, as opposed to seniors, or as opposed to maturity?
Well, I think the answer to that question, and I'm not being an expert here, but I'm just giving you my opinion. I think ages. I wouldn't have said this when I was 20.
What would you have said when you were 20?
I don't
about
know.
Intimacy?
I probably would have had. You know, if Google was out when I was 20, I probably would have Googled it. But life, the great thing about aging is wisdom, experience, and knowledge. So you're not expected to know everything, but you are expected to be coached. I think where the problem is that the ages, we're not coaching each other. If your daughter's not being coached by you, then we're leaving it to chance, right? Because she has 21, 22 years of experience where you may have a few more years.
Right.
So Great teams are champions, and great teams are great teams not because of the great athletes, not just because of great athletes, but they're great teams because of coaching. So I think we have an obligation to coach through and to our future, coach our past, share our wisdom and knowledge, be intentional, and to be courageous about it and tell the truth about it. A lot of times we sugarcoat things. For whatever reason, we're not truthful about intimacy and love. We correlate intimacy with things. We correlate love with things and stuff. When at the end of the day, it's not about either one.
So what would you say to a couple right now that's going through just that mundane life schedules? What would you say to them today, especially with them listening to this conversation? Because a lot of us don't really realize that we're stepping day by day into things until, either we don't talk to each other, or at the end of 5 years, 7 years, it's like, wow, we really don't have that intimacy anymore with our relationship. So what would you say then to a couple?
The first thing I would say is, do you have a definition of intimacy? Do you have a working definition of love? Do you have a plan to do these things? It's just like you have a plan. When you go to work, you have a plan. You get up on a certain time. You put your makeup on, you shower, everything. You drive your car. Everything we do has a plan. But If you don't have a plan to be intimate, if you don't have a plan to love, you're going to lose. So I say, first have a definition, then have a plan. And then after that, make a deal. Because your world, okay. your word should be your bond. Especially if you really say you love somebody. So I think that making a deal, having a plan, and having a definition is the most important things that we can do when it comes to intimacy and love.
So the definition then, you talked about Google. Do they Google it? Do they listen to podcasts like this?
This is my opinion is okay. You can do those things. Those things are optional. Mm-hmm. But my thing is live life and tell the truth. When you live life, tell the truth and share your experiences, no matter how old you are, no matter what your socioeconomical status is, when you allow yourself to live, when you allow yourself to when you tell the truth about what you want out of life, once you search inside of yourself about who you are, where you're going, and why you're doing it with this person, I think that's the baseline.
So what does a plan look like?
A plan is collaborative because okay. You can't make the plan without the other person. So if one person is saying, hey, I want us to be here at this point, and I want to do this and I want to do that, and the other person is just saying, okay, yes, that's good, mm-hmm, kudos, and that kind of, and there's no collaboration, there's no feedback on it, then it makes it one-sided. So at some point, you're down a one-way street. This is not a one-way street. This is a big freeway with a lot of exits. Where are we going? What's our direction?
So you got definition, you got plan, and now the deal.
You got to have a deal. That's your commitment. That's saying, like when you buy a car, you sign a contract saying, you know what? I promise to give you 48 payments of $378 until I get the lease, right? And it comes down to intimacy and love. The deal is, hey, if you say you're going to love a person for better or worse, if you say you're going to be there till the end, if you say you're going to be there through the good times and the bad times, put it in writing. Guys, you telling that woman you want her, you need to be with her, you can't live without her. Where is the document?
Women,
where's your document? Put it in writing.
Put it in writing. I love it. So it's all about change your thinking, change your life. Glad you joined in our conversation. And I hope that this episode will help you make the choice decisions that respects your future. Subscribe and follow Respecting the Future podcast on Podomatic, iTunes, and Player FM. You can also reach out to Chuck via email at leventwo, that's LEVEN, the number 2, at me.com. Be sure to get your digital or hard copy of Chuck's book, The Truth About the Facts. It's coming out November 24th, Black Friday. We want to say thank you to our engineer, Sam Walton, our videographer, Indio Prato. Until then, it's all about moving the needles and mountains in your life.
Maybe you think that the message has changed. Then won't you lend me your ear, your ear? Maybe you think that the news is new and history can live again. Then you ought to hear this.